You look wonderful today, and you always do. Some of you said thank you. Some of you looked at the person next to you, probably, huh? It ain't good to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, though. You know, it'll be 7 months next week that God's blessed us to be part of. We've been here for over 3.5 years, going on 4, but in this capacity, I can't tell you how. Every day I get up, and it's just I get to serve the Lord in this way. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, but I want you to hear what I have to say to you. It's not even just one or two people. It takes everybody doing what we do, Brother Fred. We have to be who we are. When I first started preaching, Pastor Scott, I was 19 years old, you know, and I thought I knew it. How many 19-year-olds think they have it figured out, right? 19. You know, I'm 57 now, so do the math. It's been a minute. And I remember thinking I had to do it a certain way. So my brother was a preacher. My brother's the old style run, sweat, spit, you know, and go nuts. And I love that. That's fine. You know, Miss Leah, he has his way of doing it, right? That's how he eats too, you know, so he just does it. And so I started watching him and I thought, that's what I have to be. That wasn't me. Then I'd watch my uncle, very, very intelligent man of God, and how he would preach. And I think, oh, that's what I have to. I got to a point where I kept looking and I could hear God finally saying, well, don't do it the way anybody else does it, because that's not how I formed you. You hear me? Don't serve God the way others do. You can't watch other people and try to be them, because it's not you. You got to be yourself. Tell your neighbor, be yourself. I'm not waiting until everybody does it to their neighbor right there, right? Be yourself. Paul tries to tell us that. There's two different ways I want to show you that today. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 4. There's a few verses that he shares to talk about the very privilege that we have of being able to be part of God's family and to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. You with me? So many people think there's so many ways to do good and clean up ahead of time and all of that. We're not going to get there without Jesus. Amen? Paul said, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden as a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. So what is he saying? We can't get too fancy. We can't try to be other people in our own body. We can't try to make it look like something that it's not, because the people that need to hear it are not going to hear it. And how many people do you know today that if they died today would not make heaven their home? Too many. If you know one, we know too many. So he says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news, and they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Isn't that good? You'd be bored stiff if all we did was talk about ourselves. I could put stuff in there that I've done that might hook into what the Word says, but if I'm up here to talk about Brian Farmer, I would ask all of you to open the doors and exit the building quietly. In fact, don't do it quietly. Fred, yell at me, hey, quit being so stuck up there, pal. Amen? He said, we're not doing this. Preach about ourselves. We are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And what does he say? The God who said, let there be light. I believe, and I hope I'm in a room full of people that believe it too, that when the world was created, God spoke it into existence. Can I get an amen on that? Or a go Bubba Stan Crisp, right? Wherever you're at. But I believe that in that same power, he said the same God that did that has made that very same light shine in us. Now remember that. That's power. That's action. That's life. That's light. That's salvation. That's glory. And all of that can shine inside the heart and life of a human being. That's a lot, but it's possible. And he says, we see it so we could know the glory of God. But then here's what he said, and this is what I want you to grab this morning. We now have this light, that light we just talked about, shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Not from ourselves. What does he say? The light of the gospel, the light of the power that changes life. We hold it within us. But he compares us, Paul does, to a fragile clay jar. What's a clay jar? Well, back in my day, I'm 57, you're all laughing. But back in my day, we used to call clay jars, we'd have Play-Doh. Anybody ever Play-Doh party with anybody when you were a kid? You know, we had our granddaughter all night last night. First time she stayed away from her mom and dad and stayed with Papa and Mimi all night long. I feel like I'm king of the world right now. She's asleep in the car. She didn't want to come hear Papa preach, but that's okay. She'll come in later. But I think about this. We have Play-Doh. I'm not creative. Are anybody creative in here? You guys like to make stuff? Go ahead. Raise your hand if you're a creative type. You should be proud. Obviously, you're in a minority, so that's good. And you like to make stuff. And so we get Play-Doh out, even as a kindergarten, first grader. I'm not carrying this baggage around still. And they would put all the Play-Doh out, and people start making stuff, Katie. And these guys are over here. One guy made, like, you know, Statue of Liberty. This kid over here is making the Eiffel Tower. And I'm over here trying to make a snowman. And I can't even get the base right, you know, and I'm trying to move the clay around and trying to get it. And then they'd look at my thing and go, what do you have over there? And I go, it's not done yet. That's all I kept saying. It's not done yet. And then this guy over here, you know, he makes the tent of meeting that Moses went in. And this guy made, and they come over to me, what are you still doing? Well, the base is important. It takes time. I'm not creative like that. I'm not. And they would all get done. They'd go outside and I'd take mine and wad it up and back in that little cardboard jar. I'd get frustrated. I knew what I wanted in my brain. I knew what it could look like, but I didn't have that ability. But I did have one ability. I could talk. And so you guys can play over here and make stuff if you want. I'll just talk about it. So I was always the narrator. I was always the whatever. I was the crowd noise when we played church. I told you that. My brother and my cousin, when church would end, at the end I would go roar in the corner, and they would make me do that for like 30 minutes or so. You know, I could talk. You got to know what God's called you to be able to do. But those words that Paul just uses right here in 2 Corinthians 4 are important to me. And they have been important throughout time, all through the Old Testament, even up until now. Because that's the three words that I can use to describe you and I and everyone that will be born from here on out. We're fragile clay jars. Katie, we hold the power of God in our heart. And we have the potential to hold the power of God in our hearts. But the greatest thing that we have is that the maker of those wants to be involved in our everyday lives. How do I know this? As we read that, remember, you are fragile only because this world is rough and God is good. What's the thing that we say all the time? If I said God is good, what would you tell me? And if I said it all the time, aren't we great to know that? It's a fact. All the time, he is good. How do I know that, Tom? I know that because he has been good to me when nobody else has been good to me. He has been good to me when I did not deserve it. He has been good to me when I wasn't quite sure what to do next. He's been good. I could fill that blank in all day long. Prophet Jeremiah, one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites because as he served God and was the mouthpiece of God, I don't know anybody in their right mind that Ethan would sign up to be a prophet. Hey, do you want to go tell people everything they're doing wrong every day? The prophet is me all the time and all the time. The prophet is mean. Not really. There were times when a prophet could tell God's people good stuff, but it was only when they were in God's good graces. And in too many times, they were always, I got to come tell you where you're messing up. What are you going to do about it? And the prophet would have to do that. And he would, there were times, there were others that would just kind of stick their head in the door and say it and run because they didn't want to catch fire. They would wave a white flag on the way in. You know, hey, I got to tell them when they're doing something bad. It's kind of like going to the doctor. Who's been to the doctor this past week? I mean, Brian, quit making me raise my hand. I want you to stay awake, okay? Who's been to the doctor this week? Anybody at all? Who's going this week? I got the dentist this week. I'm following your lead. And I've got my cardiac checkup in 2 weeks. Anybody follow up with a cardiac doctor lately? And so I have to go in there. And every time I do, you know what she tells me? What's the three words you think she asked me? How's your diet? I want to say, how's your face, lady? I don't want to talk about my diet. And she looks at me and they can see where your weight's at from the year before and all that. And just thank God that, you know, you can intermittent fast now, like I learned online. But you try to walk in and go, oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, well, your triglycerides are 150,000. So what's the deal with that? Or your cholesterol's this or that. The numbers don't lie. So I can try to snow my doctor, and she'll tell me all the time what's wrong, and I can get mad or I can change. How many times in prayer have you ever knelt down and you said, Lord, I want to be the best servant that I can be. I want to lead others to you. I want to see salvation throughout my life. I want to grow. I want to be a light. How can I do that better? And God says, thank you. I want you to do that too. Here's where we can work. And we say, Lord, I don't think I heard you. Tell me that again. Like Gideon, remember how many times he flipped the fleece around? And there's one thing that I can do. I can either listen or I can keep trying to bargain. Because you know what I've learned, D, in the long, fruitful life is that the longer I try to bargain with God, the more futile it is. When I jump on and say, yes, Lord, the quicker I do that, the better it goes. Are you with me? And so Paul's trying to tell us that. Jeremiah tries to tell us that. And Jeremiah talks to God, and God tells him this. I want you to go on a field trip with me. I used to love field trips as a kid in school because we got out of school. Hello. And we could go places, and we could see things. We get to ride the bus. I don't know about you. Anybody like riding the bus? I thought riding the bus was the coolest thing in the world. See, I see people shaking their head no already. Obviously, that's why I was weird as a kid. I loved riding the bus. I loved bringing a lunch. I loved getting to see other people. I would plan my lunch the night before. Mom and I would look. She'd go, okay, son, what do you want? And we would, you know, here's what we're going to have. When I put it in the fridge, I'd write my name on it. And I'd write, do not touch, on the bag. And then I would take it, and I couldn't wait till the minute. The field trips to me were just wonderful. And I remember us going one time, we went to the museum, and the museums are, you know, staunchy and dry and boring and all that stuff. But there was one time we went to a museum. It was in Akron somewhere. I'm from Ohio, obviously. We already figured that out. And we were going to see, it was a natural history. And so they were showing, you know, dinosaur stuff and all of that. And it just amazed me that they had all this stuff from before and they're letting everybody look at it. And I can remember being a little 8-9-year-old kid thinking, if I had all this stuff, there's no way I'd let everybody in here to look at it. It'd be in the corner of my room being hidden. But we went on the street and it reminded me that everywhere that we go, there's a lesson to learn. And I loved it. And I ate my lunch and with my friends, we got out of school, we get in the bus and we go back home. God says, Jeremiah, we're going to go on a trip. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Because as a prophet, Jeremiah had that unenviable task of telling them where they had not shown up, where they had problems, where there were cracks in the surface, where there were lumps in the clay. And they were over here trying to make their snowman out of Play-Doh, but God's wanting them to build something bigger. They weren't really on task with him as they should be. And if you read chapter 17, you'll get a bigger picture of 18 here in Jeremiah 18. The chapter before that, God begins to speak to Jeremiah, and he's telling them where they're needing to shore up. Observe the Sabbath. Trust in him. They were putting their trust in the wrong things. They were, in other words, if you keep going in the direction you're going, this is not going to end well. They were lost. There was no GPS back then, but there was God. And they could listen to him through his prophet. And so Jeremiah comes to them and God said, hey, here's, I want to show you, not just tell you. I want to show you what I can do for them. I don't want to just tell you. I could have you walk in there and say, you people need to straighten up. You need to get right. You need to observe the Sabbath. You need to trust God. You need to this. Or Rochelle Hegan said, let me show you in just a few words. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 18. He said, go down to the potter's shop. I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. Incidentally, isn't it good when Jeremiah didn't try to bargain with him and say, well, why the potter's shop? Well, why? Well, why do I got to go over there? Well, why this and why that? There was one directive given here, and there was an answer and a yes. So Jeremiah said, I did as he told me. And I found, guess what you'll find at the potter's house? You'll find a potter working on his wheel. Shocker. Go to the mechanic's garage and you'll find a mechanic working on the car. Go in the chef's kitchen and you'll see the chef cooking. Go in the front office and see Dee there at her desk making the world a better place. Amen. Can we give Dee a hand of appreciation this morning, by the way? I got you. I've been thinking all day long how we can appreciate her as well. Love her. So he says here, I did as he told me. and I found the potter working at his wheel. It continued. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, and so he crushed it into a lump of clay again. And what's it say? He didn't take it. He didn't chuck it across the room. He didn't go buy another lump of clay that looked better, that could sing better, that could talk better, you know, that could preach better, that could listen better. He took that same lump that he was working with, that same piece of clay that he was trying to form, and it wasn't working out. And so what did he do? Now, that crushed word sounds pretty harsh. Jimmy, it doesn't mean he said, I'll show you. It just meant we started all over again. But he never left the wheel. But he said he started over again. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? And as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Isn't that good? What is he telling him? Go back to where he's at here. I want to focus on verse 4 and then back to verse 5 in just a second. Verse 4 tells him very plainly. What's he telling Israel? Israel would do the hokey pokey with God so many times. They would be good. They would jump away. They would come in and serve him strong. They would go back out and serve idols. When they were in exile, they started acting like the people that held them captive, worshiping their pagan idols, not putting God first where he should be. They began to take the form of the place where they're at. Kind of sounds like some of us sometimes living in this land we're in, amen? There are times that we are surrounded by so much junk and sin and things that just aren't godly at times that they begin to stick to us where we are at. And that can happen. And I'm not here to say, horrible you, horrible me, this is awful. It happens. What I am saying is, there's got to be a plan on how to get rid of that and let God form you and get rid of those things in the ugly world that stick to us sometimes. And that's what he's showing here. He looks at the potter as he walks in. No talking involved. There's not a conversation as far as spoken word that happens here. But Jeremiah walks in and God says, I'm taking you on this trip to look at the potter this way for a reason. What is he doing? Well, he's creating. Well, what is he creating with? Well, the things that he uses all the time. Well, is he proud of the things that he makes? Absolutely. Who has a refrigerator with pictures of what their kids have done? I still have some from my kids of mine. I got one almost 20 and one almost 23. And I still got stuff that they did when they were little. Why? Well, because our refrigerator's dirty and we're trying to cover up the stuff on the refrigerator. But I'm proud of them. That's my kids. They'll always be my babies. I don't care if they're 100. And so as I look at what God's doing, God's always proud of us. Don't ever think that God looks down and go, I regret the day I made that person. But he says, I wish they'd come to me. I wish they'd come to me sooner. What can I do for them? They walk in, the potter's working on the wheel, and he's creating. And as Jeremiah just so happens to get there at that moment, he realizes that the potter's trying to work to start over. And he says, it didn't turn out as he hoped. I love reading so many different versions of the Bible. I would encourage you to do that. Be careful when you find something that may not be spot on. I'm reading from the New Living today. I'm an English Standard Version guy, right down to King James. I love them all. But I love what he says here. But I love the ESV because it says, the clay was spoiled in his hands. Now, how many of us can relate to spoiled? I'm not talking about ruined. I'm talking about you get your way a lot, don't you? Amen? You're kind of, you don't like it when it doesn't go your way, you know? Who does? Who does? My granddaughter was watching. She calls it her show. So she comes in. She's eating supper last night. I want to watch my show. She hasn't watched any electronics all day. I gave her my phone, and she's staring at it. And when it came bedtime, you know, when I was a parent, I'd like, here we go. Time for me to Barney Fife it and sniff and walk over there and grab that and show who's in charge. And when it came here with her, that's my granddaughter. You know, she's fragile. She can't be told no. This is not, how do I navigate this? I walked, okay, Lakeland, okay, give Papa his phone. You got to go to bed. And this beautiful little cherubed face with little pigtails went, ah. Where did that come from? And she said, I want to, I go, it's bedtime, honey. I don't know where the calmness came from because I was almost like, Cheryl's like, don't do it. I almost was like, okay. But I didn't. I said, no, we got to, you know, in like 5 minutes, she was out. I'm like, that's good parenting right there. Thank you very much. Almost cracked. But I looked at her, and knowing that she wasn't going to like it, but I knew that was for her own good. That God does that to us all the time. Sometimes it's not even the debilitating, catastrophical stuff. Sometimes it's like, hey, be careful of that. Hey, watch out where your eyes are gleaning over this way. Hey, those words that you're around a lot that are over in here, shake them out so they don't stick and become part of who you are. You with me? Hey, this stuff that's over here, those decisions you're making, be careful that you make them in the right process because they can lead to something that you don't want to be involved in. Let's get back on the wheel and let's work that out. So the potter looks at what may not be exactly exemplary, and here's the very first lesson we get from the potter's house. God never throws the clay away. Amen? He never throws you away. Can we get a little excited about that? I am. I know you are. But I could woo over that one. Thank you. All right. You know why? I've given him more than one reason, Pastor Tim, to throw me away. More than one. You know what he did? People have. And you know what we do? Stan, we equate how people treat us to God too many times, don't we? And we say, well, if Fred doesn't like me, God doesn't like me. Well, no, I think it'd take longer for Fred not to like you than anybody. He's a kind man. But I would think, what happens? God says, hey, it's not that you haven't done wrong. You need to come to me. And you know what the great redemptive story of this entire field trip that Jeremiah takes to the potter's house is? That the clay's on the wheel all the time. See, I'm never going to be finished, Gene, until I get to heaven. Amen? It's never going to have the final shine, the final glaze, and it's perfected until I get to walk over with all these dear saints this week that have made their walk over to heaven where they're at right now. I've got way more reasons to go today than I ever did. And I want to be ready. But in that process, I have to allow God to work. So number one, be thankful that he never throws away the clay. Be thankful that he's always working. The potter, and even if he has to just say, okay, we're going to start from scratch. What's he doing? He's showing Israel later in chapter 18. Read the rest of that today on your own time. But as you read that, he says, look, if I tell a nation I want to bless you and they do what I tell them, I'll bless them. Wow. But he says, if I tell them that they need to shore up and they're in trouble and they don't, then they're going to get what comes to them. I hold the right to do what I want to do. He's God. Amen? Who are you going to argue with God over his plan? Part of his plan is to make our lives the best they can be. So he says, look, and here's the question he asks them later. After he says, hey, he sees that the clay is not perfect. Israel, can I not do to you as this potter does to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand. So thank God he doesn't throw away the clay. But here's number two. Stay close so he can form you. Stay close. He shows Jeremiah to tell Israel, here's what I can do for Israel. We can start all over. We can reform this mess. I can pull them out of their sin and out of their mistakes and out of their bad decisions and out of their words that they're hearing and turn them into something better if they'll let me. But you got to stay on the wheel. You got to stay on the wheel. I have never in my life ever even tried to use a potter's wheel. I don't know if anybody of you ever had. Anybody ever done try to do that? Seriously? All right. Amen. Hey, give a hand for these folks. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. You know why? To me, it's kind of like running a piece of machinery. Don't you have a pedal or something that you have to do? And then you got the clay there, and then you wet your hands right, and then they move it around. I would break every finger on both of my hands trying to do that. I'm just telling you. Or maybe even my arms and maybe other things. I don't know. But you got to get the speed right and the right amount of wetness on there, right? And you got to have something in your mind what you want that to look like. This is one of my favorite mugs. My son went to Florida. All I got was a stinking mug, right? That's what they always say. But this mug right here, I like it for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's not a little teeny any, you know, a little teacup where you get two sips and you're done. And I have about 15 cups of coffee a day probably. But this mug is special because he thought of me, or he said he did. He may have found it. I have no idea. But it's got many different colors. It's shiny. And it's heavy duty. It took some time. They didn't just throw this together. It is complete. And so it looks like it took some time. But it is made to what it needs to do. But they go through it. He put it on the wheel. It was on the wheel. It was formed. It was shaped. It was put through the paces. And then it came out the way somebody had a mind for it to come out. What does he say here? He says, as the clay is in the potter's hand. What did he say earlier? That the potter, as he formed it, had a mind, had an idea what he wanted it to look like. This was not going to be a platter or an ashtray or a bowl or, you know, whatever. The maker of this mug knew what he had in mind, or she had in mind, to make it out to be. And that's what God's telling Israel. I know where I want you. Just listen. If the one that owns the wheel has a plan, give in to his will and let him shape you to what he wants you to be. Part of our resistance is that we don't like what he wants us to be. I don't want to do that. You sure you want me to sing? You sure you want me to preach? You sure you want me to teach? You want me to greet people? You want me to help set up in between services? You want me to stack chairs? We're just going to have to put them back on the floor again? You want me to tell somebody about my faith? Yes. You know why? That glorious light that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians is just going to be carried through with all your actions there. Amen? And as he has a plan, he's forming you to fill others. Because here's the third thing. Doesn't throw the clay away. We got to stay on the wheel so God can form us. And you're not formed to just receive. You know what happens when all you do is receive? Receive, receive. Anybody ever played Pac-Man? You know, this is us sometimes. Whack, whack, whack. We're just eating all the, that's my Pac-Man sound, by the way. We're just eating all the dots, and then you eat the power pill. Well, how long does the power pill last? I don't know, but that's when you go really fast so you don't have to get eaten by the ghost and all that stuff and flying around. That's when video games are really video games. This stuff nowadays, I have no clue what you guys are doing at all. But we sometimes just eat. And there's no give. And this cup was not formed to just fill. Because what good would it do to have something in it if it doesn't come out? This kid right here is not going to be very happy because I'm filling it up to get what's in it. Somebody out there is formed. You need it. You need it. You need it. If I just eat, I'm just going to blow up and be a big floating hot air balloon. There's got to be something that flows out. We are formed to fill. Amen? We get fed to feed others. We get blessed to bless other people. Amen? The best times of my day is not just when I receive. And listen, I love to receive. And I love it when God does great things. But I get more blessing when I can sit down with somebody and they tell me their needs and we pray and we work things out. Not long ago, before I came here, I worked at a trucking company. We were a milk hauling company. And this is about 2 months ago. And one of the drivers, a young kid, lives not too far from me. He had been talking. He's a truck driving kid, got two kids. I did his wedding last summer, and always, he's a friend of mine. We talk every once in a while, hadn't talked to him in a while, and out of the blue, I was sitting right upstairs, and he texts me. He goes, call me when you can. This is not a call me when you can kind of kid. And I called him back, and I said, hey, Parker, what's going on? He goes, yep. He goes, he's never one. He does not make small talk. He just goes, I was wondering if you'd baptize me. I go, you know, did you ever just hear something, you feel your brain stop? I go, what? I go, yeah. And then I'm like, you know, I sounded real intelligent for a minute. I sound like Porky Pig. I'm trying to get my words together. I said, first of all, Parker, let's get first things first. Have you received Christ as your Savior? He goes, got real quiet. He goes, I'm working on that. I said, well, let's figure that out. We talked through it, and he got to where he wanted to pray. I said, you want to pray? He goes, I'm not good at that. I go, nobody is, but I'm going to pray and you follow me and we'll get there. I prayed. I could hear him on the other side of the phone. When I got done, I said, hey, how do you feel? He goes, great. This is not a great kind of a person. So when he said great, I felt great. I said, yes. So we shouted a little bit on the phone with that. And I said, okay, we worked it out. We're going to go to his grandma's farm. She has a pond. It turned out it was a lake, but he said to call it a pond. And I called him back up the next week. He said, okay, we're going to do it today. On my way over there, he goes, oh, by the way, my wife wants to get baptized too. She got saved the other day. Oh, yeah, and by the way, my brother's girlfriend, she got saved. She wants to get baptized. I'm like, bring the whole family. We go outside. That water was not warm, and I did not care. You know why? There's something about when you're doing what God has formed you to do that it just starts to work out. And he had been formed in an instant in his heart to be a servant of God. And when he gave into that, guess what happened? Now he's working on his dad. He goes, hey, send my dad a Facebook friend request and be his friend so some of this rub off on him. We're working on him. I said, see them cows out there on the field? You know, you're going to end up leading them to Christ before it's all said and done. He goes, if they need him, we'll do it. You see what I mean? When you are in on the wheel, allowing God to form you, good things begin to happen. Amen? So what does he say here? Here's what God's forming us to do. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what's dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. That phrase near the end, useful for the master of the house, set apart for the master's use, formed to fill, filled to give others, fed to feed, on the wheel. Here's my question to you this morning. As honestly as I can speak to you, I believe in my heart that Jesus is coming back really soon. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's at 10:40, but it's soon. All you got to do, if you don't ever even turn on a device, you can feel it. And in that process of knowing that Jesus is coming back, I believe that he is really ratcheting things up and beginning to pour his spirit out. Now, his spirit's always been here, but it just kind of feels like people are just a little bit more receptive, a little bit ready to work, a little bit ready to jump, a little bit ready to share, a little bit more ready to do those things. And I don't want to do it just because, oh, I'm afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm excited. Because the longer I live here, the less of a pull it has on me. The longer I'm on this earth, the less I'm worried about fame and stuff. More worried about who's going to heaven with me. And am I really shining for God the way I should? What's God showing Jeremiah? Go down there and show him what I can do. We're never done. Stay on the wheel. Let me ask you this. Are there things in your life that have lumps or they got cracks or they're just not formed correct? They need to be smoothed out. And you just need God to be the potter today and get you on the wheel. And say, you know what, my attitude could probably use a couple little things pushed in here. We could use a little moisture over here to smooth that out. You know, my marriage today right now, we've been going like this. And we're kind of not really walking this way at the moment. So, you know what, we need to get on the wheel with God today or to this afternoon. And we need to let him form us. You know what, my heart in general needs formed so I can shine. I'm okay with God right now, starting from scratch, fixing that ball of clay right back up and getting right back to work, because I don't want to take one step without him. Amen? You bow your heads with me for just a moment. In fact, can we stand together for just a moment today? My prayer is always that God's speaking and you're listening. With our heads bowed for just a moment and our eyes closed, we're going to pray. But I would ask you, and this takes courage, I know, if there's anyone that wants to step out and come right here to the front and just kneel down and just say, God, I need to get on the wheel today so you can work. In any of those things that we've mentioned and something that I even didn't, you won't have to pray alone. I guarantee you somebody will come and pray with you, but even at your seat. But would you even have the chance to step out? We're just going to tarry for a moment if you do, to come and kneel down and say, okay, God, here I am. Here I am. Form me. Let's start from scratch. Let's start from where I left off, but let's get busy. Anyone at all? God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Hey, he's here. He's listening. Amen. God, you are the potter and we're the clay. And to us to stay the clay means we have to give in. We can't stub up and be defiant. We can't think that we're it. We don't preach about ourselves, as Paul wrote, and we can't make this our own show. We want to carry the glorious light of the gospel the very best that we can. And God, to do that, we have to stay in your grip and in your will, and where your hands can touch us constantly. Remind us when we kind of get out of balance and we go faster than you want us to, or slower, or we get off the wheel. Thank you that you're patient to go find us and put us back on and begin to form, because it's a constant thing. We will be in the mode of being shaped every breath that we take. God, I pray today that our church as a whole would continually seek your will. Thank you for what you're doing. We just want to continually be obedient, all of us in this room. But God, now as we want to be formed so you can fill us, because we sure don't want to miss a day where we can't feel your presence. We don't want to have a moment where we don't know that your hands are in our lives. We don't want to have anything sticking out of balance, not in your will. Keep us on the wheel. God, today for all of us this morning, especially this one that has come to pray today, I pray for her that you would bless her life and that you would help her and help her find where you need her in her life and keep shaping her to be the one carrying the light of the gospel in her life as well. And for all of us, when we leave this place this morning, we know that we're going to go back out there to a world that needs to see the light, so we've got to stay in shape so we can shine. So I pray you would do that for each precious one here today. Thank you for meeting with us, and go with us throughout this week. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen.